treasure than the forest you. Hear the trumpets calling for you. Gotta get that mountain gold. Mountain gold. Mountain.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mountain Gold. Do you know what that is? Well, you will when you get the album. What a fabulous brand new album. We're going to hear more about it in a tiny bit. And I was sitting here waiting for the show. I started to listen to that song and started smiling. So wonderful, wonderful. That music can make you do that. And KMUN can make you do that. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local. Very glad to be here with you on this beautiful rainy Pacific Northwest day where spring is coming, and this album is right in time. I want to recognize the lands of the Chinook, Clatsop, Kathlamet, and Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde. How fortunate we are to be here. Blessings to all the people, and to the people in Atlanta, who are dealing with some of the horrors that go on. Healing especially to Frederica and Ben Frederica, to Michelle, to Josh, and to Sue Z. And to you, wherever you are, whatever kind of healing you wish to have. And of course, the arts are, in my opinion, one of the best ways to do it. So let me welcome half of the Skamakaway Swamp Opera. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Carol. It's a pleasure to be on your show again.
Yes, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And Eric Friend.
Hi, Carol. Yes, it's Eric Friend, and I'm happy to be here too.
Good, good. Okay, delightful. These folks, like me, live out in the boonies, so you never know what you're going to get on these technological devices. So I'm very glad to hear both of you sounding good. Congratulations on the album.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you, Carol.
Just wonderful. I'll mention that the other half of Skamakaway Swamp Opera is Jillian Ray and Kyleen Austin, who I believe actually gives legitimacy, is this true, to the name of your band? She was an opera singer, is that right?
That's true. She is a trained opera singer, and just for fun, we learned a couple actual opera tunes.
Oh, great.
In fact, Barcarolle we recorded on our first album, but also some Debussy. And
wow. So
every once in a while, in the middle of a set of completely different music, we'll toss one of those out there, and I don't know, there's something I really like about arranging an opera tune for soprano, mandolin, cello, and banjo. Works really well.
Yeah, and since you mentioned that, and of course percussion, Eric, tell us where this band came from. Well, we know, you know what? There are a lot of people listening from all over the world, so tell them where Skamakawi is and where this band came from, how it came together.
Should I take this one, Eric?
Sure. Okay. Well, the Skamakawi Swamp Opera is an evolution of a previous band of Andrews called Willapa Hills. And Willapa Hills is, I guess you could say, the house band for a local program where people kayak around here, and then they take in some music, and the Willapa Hills band would play. And that band kind of reached its end, and Andrew was looking for some more musicians, and some locals stepped up, and we formed a band that was so different than the old one that it needed a new name, and that's where Skamakawi Swamp Opera emerged. And
if you're not familiar with Skamakawi, it is up the Columbia River and across from Astoria. It's at River Mile 34, and I live in Skamakawi, and at the time, Jillian lived in Skamakawi as well, and Kylene works in Skamakawi, so
that's
close enough.
Right, exactly.
And, you can actually see Skamakawi from the top of the bridge when you're looking up the river.
Wow. So when you say milepost 34, does that you're not 34 miles up?
If measured from the ends of the jetties.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So I said that folks, when they see the album, they will know what Mountain Gold is if they didn't catch the drift already. I want to, before I forget, congratulate. It sounds as though this might be part of your family, Andrew. Connor Emlyn Peterson, or Peterson.
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 Connor Emlyn Peterson is my son. Yeah, he's 22, and he is living up in Seattle right now, working for Earth Corps. But he's a talented artist.
Very talented.
And I asked him, you know, we didn't even have a way to get together for a photo during the middle of the pandemic. And we just thought, how about artwork? And he just ran with it. And so he used his own ideas and did an illustration for each song in the lyric book that's inside the CD packet.
Yep.
And we were just really pleased with it.
I am very impressed. Did he study art, or is this just what he loves to do?
Well, in high school he did. He actually studied biology primarily in college.
Okay, good combination, though, since this is, there's a lot of biology in the drawings, including the second tune, which we're going to hear. Am I right that Jillian, did you help write the Mountain Gold, or is that Jillian's song, or what?
That's a song that Jillian and I had played together in a previous band, The Cliffs of Cathlamet, and it was her idea, and we developed it and then brought it to the Skamakawi Swamp Opera, where more personalities get involved and take it to a whole new level. So it's had many its genesis is complex, and there's a lot of people involved in it.
Well, it's absolutely delightful, as I mentioned.
And for those who didn't catch the allusion, the Mountain Gold is about hunting for chanterelles.
Right.
So as a lot of our songs are placed here in the Pacific Northwest. And, it was fun. That recording, I just improvised on the cello, and Jillian made me do it over and over again. I kept trying to do something, I don't know, fancier than she wanted, I guess. And she kept telling me to simplify it.
I see.
So she was happy with it.
Okay. So you've got four musicians, four songwriters, and four directors.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you all managed to, and this is your second album, so, it's beautiful, and the music is terrific, so you've done well. So how did you put together an album during the pandemic hands-off time? How did that work?
Well, the short answer is that we didn't. We had recorded everything, and Eric does all the recording for us at my farm. And And then once the pandemic hit, what remained was for Eric to do all of the mixing, et cetera, and then for Connor to do the artwork, et cetera. So that can all happen without us getting together.
So do you have an actual recording studio in your home or on your property?
Eric, you want to tackle that?
Oh, yeah. So I I'm sort of a mobile recording setup. I can show up with the mixing board and the mic stands and the computer.
Eric, we're losing you. Eric?
Oh, we lost him. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Well,
okay.
At any rate, Eric's very good at setting up all of that and doing the recording. And the only difficult thing about our studio was my rooster, Gilroy. And you could hear him crowing on a lot of the first and second and third takes of some of these, and it just became a ritual every time. Every time you could hear him going again, I would go up front outside and toss some feed to the chickens on the other side of the building and hope that he stayed quiet for a while.
Oh, wow. You had to bribe your rooster. That's talk about down-home country music. So I also read, by the way, let's tell folks, page 10 of the March 2021 issue of Hip Fish, our monthly arts and culture and political newspaper, from Dinah Urell, wrote a wonderful article, full-page article on the band and on this release, and it gives you a lot of the background. But something I didn't know, because I guess it's Seven Deadly Sins. I don't know what that is.
Oh, Seven Deadly Sins is a storytelling series in Portland. And so actually it's run by a friend of mine from high school, Todd Kelly. Mm-hmm. And he's a very talented writer and storyteller. And every month he would put together a show, and or every other month, depending. And originally, all the themes were taken from the Seven Deadly Sins. So there'd be a show on greed, and each of the five storytellers would have to tell a story which hinged on that theme.
Okay, like
and
the
then
moth.
What Todd would do then is, since we were the house band, he would give us a one sentence description of what each story was, and it was our job to pick a song or write a song to go with. To follow each of those stories, and then
we
do some sort of, you know, greed-based song to kick off the whole thing and to close it. So we'd have to come up with seven tunes for every show.
Wow!
And it kept us on our toes, and gave us an excuse to learn music from every kind of genre.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, just felt the need to write something new for that occasion. So two of the songs on the album. Came because we had to write a song for an upcoming show.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote one for a show for which the theme was Love's Fucks, and Kylene wrote one for the Greed show.
Yeah, that when I heard it, It's Mine, It's Mine, It's Mine, I thought, what is that? I loved it. I loved it, but I had no idea where it came from, and then I read this, and it cracked me up, so, and it sucks. Well, one of my other delights is the piece you wrote, Wakayakum County Sheriff's Report. Tell us about that. That is hilarious.
Well, it's a pastime.
Oh.
Are you back, Eric? That's great.
Okay, yep. Okay.
But, at any rate, it's a pastime in Wakayakum County to open up the Wakayakum County Eagle every week and read the sheriff's report. And it's a list of all the things that the sheriff's department and the and emergency response personnel had to respond to. And fortunately, we live in a place that has pretty low crime, and so a lot of it is just pure entertainment. And so I just started collecting them. And I told the band, I'm going to do a song, and it's going to have backup singers responding to the actual verbatim entries from the sheriff's report.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, Jillian was saying, oh, this so-called song you're writing, and I realized I'd been sitting on it a long time, a couple of years, collecting my favorites.
Uh-huh.
And I just gave it to the band, but, you know, a lot of it was written for me. All I needed was sort of a Greek chorus of backup singers responding to each one of these.
Well,
I should tell you, you actually probably know the person who was the first entry on there. It says, and a Lokanaman Valley resident reported that someone had tossed manure in his carport. He called back later to report that a cow was responsible. So I put that on there, and once the song was out, Jim Roberts, who was a programmer for KMUN, said, hey, I was the guy who reported the cow manure.
So he's now recorded in perpetuity. Well, it is a hoot, and did the band come up with the chorus, these remarks, or did you write that? And then, I mean, how does that come about?
I pretty much did those. Mm-hmm. One was contributed by someone else, but
now, Eric, are you wearing shoes? I have the hip fish in front of me, and there's a delightful picture of the four of you. It's actually a photograph, although, and I like it a lot, but I really love Connor's artwork on the album that has the four of you with your instruments. But this is in a tree, and I noticed that at least three of the four are barefoot. But you look like a little suspicious, like you're wearing shoes. Is that, and they cut your feet off so they wouldn't show. Is that, are you the, are you the city guy?
I hadn't noticed. You know, when we're out at Andrew's farm and playing music out there, especially outdoors, I think taking off one's shoes is a way to feel grounded, and it helps with the music. Definitely, maybe there's some artistic liberties taken in the drawing. Is it a real picture? Is it a drawing?
Well, the real picture is a photograph in hip fish. You'll have to take a look and let me know. But in the meantime, while I've got you, before your phone dies, What is your background as a musician, and also are you a trained techie? Are you a recording engineer, or did you just figure out how to do stuff?
Well, maybe Renaissance man is the word.
Sweet.
Just a lot of different hats that I wear. Mm. I come from I'm a bit of a nerd. So I grew up loving computers, and that was my profession, and how I ended up making a few dollars so I could get some land out here in Washington and move out and become a forest man who plays music. Mm-hmm. And that those computer skills are applicable to recording, because these days, as you may know, music production involves computers, and it's technical, and those skills translate very well.
That's great. And
it is great, because I can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, I can relate to that. So we don't mention the big A, but otherwise, how do people find this music?
iloveswamp.com.
Oh, great. Nice and easy. That's terrific. I love swamp. Okay, that's much easier than trying to spell Skamakaway, because that always fouls people up.
Yeah, fortunately, if you're searching for the YouTube videos or anything, you don't have to have the word Skamakaway in
there.
That's great. Swamp Opera will pretty much get you there.
That's great. And Andrew, I've seen you doing music forever, including Willapa Hills, and performing once with a backdrop of about 15 instruments hanging. So have you been making music all your life? Has that been your aim, or did you have a hidden money maker to allow you?
Well, I did not come from a particularly musical family. I started with a school program. There was a woman who decided that she was going to start an orchestra program in the local school district, and she came around to every fourth grade classroom and played a few licks on a violin and a viola and a cello and a bass, and I had a friend on either side of me, and we just said, let's play that one. I didn't know anything about it. If I'd been absent that day, I probably never would have taken up the cello.
Wow.
But I ended up going on with it, and my mother took me to private lessons for years. Thanks, Mom. And then I ended up getting a cello scholarship that paid for most of my college.
Wow.
So,
Andrew, you did something like that to me. You said, here's a mandolin, Eric. Play this. and I had to figure that out.
I love it. Wonderful. Wonderful.
And he plays it just fine, too.
It sounds good, as do the percussion instruments you play. Okay, well, folks, check this out. iloveswamp.com, or just type in Swamp Opera. And the new album, Foxglove Streets, we're going to go out with Andrew's tune, Frog Night. It needs no explanation. If you live around here, you will relate to it very, very much. But it's also hilarious. And even if you don't live here, it'll bring a smile. Andrew Emlyn, Eric Friend, thank you so much for being here on Arts Live and Local from the parking lot. And Jillian Ray and Kylene Austin, thank you so much for rounding out this wonderful band. And I wish you all well. I'm so glad you made a new album, and I look forward to lots more music from you. Someday, you'll all four come into the studio and play live.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, take care now. And check out Hipfish, folks, March 21. And we're going to hear Frog Night from Andrew Emlyn from the Foxglove Streets Skamakaway Swamp Opera right here on KMU. And by the way, did I mention, while you're listening to this show, open up your computer if it's not open yet, and coastradio.org. And hit that red button, donate. If you don't want to do it now because you don't want to miss the show, then do it anytime. We're going to be asking you to support this fabulous little radio station. And yeah, we got lots of bumps these days. We've even got new people coming in. That's the good bumps. And helping us to smooth things out. Some of it is new systems. Some of it is NPR's issues, lots happening here. Stick with us and support Coast Community Radio, coastradio.org, or just send a check, P.O. Box 269, Astoria, Oregon, 97103. You can try calling. I don't know about right now, though, because we're using the phones, 503-325-0010. Thanks, folks. Appreciate it.
It's the first warm rain of spring. That can only mean one thing. When sun sets, the migration will begin. Green hopping hordes will amass on State Route 4 for an obstacle course. Some of them won't win. Frog night, frog night. They're bouncing up and down in the headlights. Out on SR4, they are dying by the score. So as they hop from here to there, say a little prayer, say a little prayer for the frog. Well, I slowed down to a crawl, swerving, trying to miss them all. But Deputy Balch said it wasn't safe. He said, keep yourself alive, just drive straight at 55 as I follow you home to Skamakaway. So I did as I was told, as over the frogs I rolled, careening through the wind and rain and fog. When I could slow down and take care, I said a little prayer for the frogs. Frog night, they're bouncing up and down in the headlights. Out on SR4, they are dying by the score, so as they hop from here to there, let us say a little prayer, say a little prayer for the frog.
Oh, yeah. Say a little prayer for the frogs. Say a little prayer for all of us. And keep that spirit going. Again, coastradio.org. And by the way, if you have something that you think would be a good fit for this show, send me an email, carol@coastradio.org. If I don't get back to you within a week, do it again, because this technology stuff sometimes gets away with us. Well, speaking of technology, I'm not sure that's even a good leap, but how about speaking of neuroscience? Is that good? What is it, you ask? I don't know. We're going to find out. I've got a couple of guys here who are going to tell us, because they are putting on the Noggin Fest. This is an annual event. It is the largest celebration of neuroscience research, art, music, and brains in the Pacific Northwest. And I saw some of the art. It's gorgeous. So here to tell us about it, I have two people, and that would, I think, I have Bill Greiser. Bill?
Yeah. I'm here. Yep, Bill Greiser. Yep.
Bill Greiser. Okay, good.
Yep, no worries, yep.
And is Jeff Leake here with us, too?
I am, yes.
Okay, okay. Now, Bill, I believe, is a professor of behavioral neuroscience at PSU.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Jeff, what's your title? That doesn't sound very artistic. Jeff, what's your title?
I teach up at Portland State University as well, but mostly I'm an artist. So
that's how you get on this show, you know. So it's a good thing. Although this festival that you guys put on, let's, for full disclosure, you brought me somebody wonderful last year. We don't have a lot of time right now, so I want to, I want you to tell folks what you are doing with this Noggin Fest, N-O-G-G-I-N. What is it and who's doing it? It's happening, I can tell people that. It's happening tomorrow evening, Saturday night, 6 to 8:30 p.m. And you can go to NW, like Northwest, nwnogginfest.org.
NWNoggin.
Just Noggin. Oh, okay.
Yep.
NWNoggin.
Yeah,
and, okay, so tell us, what is it? What are you doing?
Well, you know, one of the great things is that there is a great of art and beauty in neuroscience, actually, in sort of, you know, exploring the sort of physiological basis, the biological basis of who we actually are. And Jeff and I actually co-teach many classes at Portland State. So we sort of pursue an interdisciplinary neuroscience approach where we, you know, kind of value the perspectives and elevate and actually really learn from, you know, making things. And, you know, usually Noggin Fest is a live event, right, Jeff? And so we are... Yeah. In a big warehouse, and we have musicians that are performing until 3 a.m., and we have, like, tables filled with pipe cleaners where families come and kids make brain cells out of pipe cleaners. We have, you know, tables with actual, real, you know, extra human brains that people can hold and examine and then ask questions about.
Bill, I saw a photo. And it looked like a real brain, but I thought, no.
Yeah, no, it's real. They're all real. We do have a lot of actually 3D printed brains that are based off of MRI scans of actual, you know, people in the Pacific Northwest as well. In fact, there's on our website, you can find out if you ever participate in a study where you get an MRI, you can have your own brain 3D printed.
Oh my God. Well, that's exactly what I've always wanted. Who knew? I'll be talking to you later. But meanwhile, I'm not even sure what is neuroscience. What is it? I mean, it sounds obvious, but it's not.
It's the study. It's actually the study of the brain and the study of the nervous system. and all of the different networks of linked cells that sort of, you know, form who we are and that change, you know, during developmental experience and, you know, exposure to the world around us and within us as well. And I know we have only a little time, so Jeff, do you want to, like, let everybody know about Noggin Fest and what's going on with Noggin Fest?
Well, you know, we've been, this is our fourth annual Noggin Fest, and, you know, it really is kind of a, it's sort of a culmination of what we do year-round, and in bringing artists and scientists and musicians together to all kind of explore and discover, you know, what makes us who we are. You know, we see all of those enterprises as kind of really an exploration of that, like what makes us tick. So,
what kind of art do you do, Jeff?
I am primarily a painter myself, and a lot of what I do is sort of revolves around stories and how stories sort of help us define our cultural values and things like that. So it's interesting to me to really think about how all of that kind of leads into the brain and behavior and what makes us do the things that we do. So,
Well, I just want to tell folks that this sounds almost academic, but I assure you, if you take a look at, for example, Brainbow Hippocampus by Greg Dunn, and yes, it's Brainbow, as in, that's exactly right. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So, what would people, now it's virtual this year, so how do people get involved?
So we're going to have, there's you can register online. So if you go to nwnoggin.org, actually it's completely free. We were told we needed like a registration link just so bots don't, you know, get your Zoom link and then, you know, spam it and whatever. But once we have, we'll send you an actual Zoom link.
Oh, good.
And then it's going to be a mix of research speakers. So we have like Chris Stauffer, who is the head of the psychedelic research program at OHSU that was just established. There's Dr. Heather Zwicky, who is going to delve into you know, the gut-brain axis and how microbiome affects, you know, how we, you know, behave and act. And we have a grad student in behavioral neuroscience, Gail Stonebarger, who works with the oldest monkey brains in the world.
Wow.
And we're going to be alternating research speakers with musical performances, including Ryan Walsh, who grew up in Astoria, actually, and is a classical guitarist, and and we're going to have an art auction. It'll be a lot of fun, and you can ask questions. You can ask questions about psychedelics. You can ask questions about the gut-brain axis. You can ask, you know, questions throughout the whole event. We'll have a chat running and things like that. So,
and
it's all student-run. So I should say this too: this is completely volunteer. Portland State OHSU students. You know, very, very excited to bring neuroscience and art.
Well, I actually signed up for it. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it looked good. It sounds weird. And I figured, let's give it a try. So, again, if people go to nwnoggin, nwnoggin.org, then they can register and connect with you.
Right? One more very important thing to add is that the Fort George Brewery actually has been supporting us, you know, consistently for the last 4 years. We actually brought, you know, real brains and art projects to the Fort George for one of the class of community college lectures series. And we've been to, you know, Warrenton High School and Astoria High School, et cetera. So they gave us more beer this year. So we have these Gleal gift bags.
I see. Okay, I was going to say... Wait a second. So now we've got brain beer as well as brain bow. Okay. We got to go. I'm so glad we were able to connect. And next year we'll bring you on and give you more time to talk about whatever you're doing next year, because it seems it's different, a little different each time. Thank you so much for coming. Bill Greiser and Jeff Leek with the 4th Annual Noggin Fest, the largest celebration of neuroscience, research, art, music, and brains in the Pacific Northwest. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much, too.
You bet. This is KMUN. We're going to hear some music from Margarita. Stay tuned, and you can make your donations anytime you like, folks. Thanks for being here. Whiskey con rum sabrosa. I even understand what that means. Margarita Collymore. Bienvenida.
Hello, Carol.
Hello, hello.
Bien, muchas gracias. Me gusto estar contigo. My pleasure.
Yes, good. Mine too. Many people listening who are regulars here at Coast Community Radio, KMUN, know Margarita, who has been the host of Sonidos Latinos. How many years have you been doing that show?
Wow, 16 years.
I didn't realize
I really
it.
Have enjoyed them. They are 16.
That's wonderful. So Margarita has been alternating all those years with various people, but she's been steady on and still is. And these days, Jerry Middaugh alternates, but Margarita is the voice behind the Spanish, fortunately, because she is a native speaker, and it's wonderful to hear you give, whether it's the news or the announcements or whatever. So thank you for that. That's community radio, where we all work together. But Margarita is here for a different reason today. And she actually put together a wonderful two-hour program a week ago.
Yes, on the 11th, Thursday. Not yesterday, but
right.
A week. Yeah.
The week before. And it mm-hmm. is available if you are at coastradio.org. You can go to archives, but only for another 6 days, and look that up. So I asked Margarita to come in because it was St. Patrick's Day this week, and there is a real connection. And Margarita, in her scholarly fashion, she puts together shows that are incredibly educational, enriching, and beautiful with music from all over. So tell us, who are the San Patricios, and what do a bunch of Irish Catholics have to do with the Mexican-American War all the way up to today?
Well, the San Patricios were a group of mostly Irishmen who, during the Mexican-American War of 1846 to 1848, fought with the Mexican army. They joined forces with them, and there was, you know, when they were coming, not necessarily out of hunger, but they were coming out of religious persecution. And also, in the army, they were treated as if they were not valuable. And there was a lot of poverty. There was a famine going on at the same time. However, it was only potatoes. All the other things, all the crops that they grew, were not coming to the poor Irishmen, but they were shipped to other locations. And so, fleeing that, they ventured into America. When they came, they found not very different circumstances that they had while they were at home. And so Mexico was at the time, at the beginning of a war with the United States, and the Mexicans lured them into coming and joining them by promising them land. And so they were amazingly brave. Most of them were doing it because they didn't want to fight Catholic, mm-hmm. other Catholic people. And by the almost single-handedly, they held the American forces outside of the fort of Churubusco that became Mexico City. The fort of Churubusco, the inside, it is the present site of Mexico City.
So, but yeah, go ahead.
Also, most of them had deserted or defected from the U.S. Army, and they served as the only artillery unit for much of the war for Mexico. And they were the counterbalance to the recent U.S. innovation of horse artillery.
Hmm.
And so knowing they ran out of ammunition when they were almost at the end of the 4th month, and the ammunition that arrived didn't fit their cannons.
Mm.
So knowing their fate and that they were in defeat, they fought to the very end, never raising the white flag. It happened to this a Mexican captain who raised it, but not the San Patricios. So at the end, they were either branded in the cheek with a letter D for deserter, or they were executed.
Mm.
And there were 50 of them that were executed, and collectively, this was the largest mass execution in U.S. history.
Wow. So, so they were heroes in Mexico and just the opposite in the United States.
Right.
Right. Is it true that some of the people who, they were all called San Patricios, but some of them came from other European countries, but they too were Catholic?
Well, not all of them were Catholic. As in all of these wars, you find mercenaries.
Ah.
The great majority were Irishmen who had deserted the army, but there were also among them Germans, even some Americans, and people of other nationalities, but they were very few.
Okay.
The bulk of them were Irishmen.
So now that was the 1846 to 48, the Mexican-American War. So what is the legacy? Now, you're from Puebla, is that correct, in Mexico?
I am from Puebla, And Puebla is southeast of Mexico City, about between 80 and 90 miles from there.
So did you grow up knowing about this group of people? I mean, that's quite a long time ago. Are there still traces of the San Patricios today in Mexico?
Well, the traces are the people who intermarried Mexicans. But there is also something that happens. The San Patricios, of course, they were heroes for the Mexicans and traitors for the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But in Mexico City and the site of what was then the Fort of Churubusco, every Sunday, there is a band of bagpipes that is more, they are called Banda de Gaitas del Batallón de San Patricio, which means bagpipes of San Patricio's battalion. But they are a Mexican group. And every Sunday, there is a little ceremony where the Mexican government thanks those Irishmen. And they have representatives of each country, of Ireland as well as of Mexico. And then they have, it's like a tiny fair where there is tap dancing, local groups of that come to do some tap dancing and playing music, which normally is a fusion of Celtic and Mexican and Latin music as a whole.
Are you talking about today? That's still done?
Today.
Oh, wow.
It is still being done. This is for most Mexicans, believe it or not, are not aware of the San Patricios. This is an almost obscure chapter in the history of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you really pay attention to it, you'll miss it. My family comes from Mexico City, so I had my grandfather that was rather eccentric. took my sister and I. Yeah, he was truly an eccentric man. He took my sister and I when we were very young, and he took us to listen to the ceremony several times. My sister loves bagpipes.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave bagpipes to her.
So are you talking about the full-size Irish bagpipes?
Yes, yes, they are.
Wow.
As you know, the bagpipes, there are three types of bagpipes. And they almost are identical to the other, and they always have been. And they believe they initiated in Galicia, which is in the northwest corner of Spain,
mm-hmm.
a province. And the difference in the way in which we hear bagpipes today is mainly the way in which they are played.
Interesting. So what was the... Did you know when your grandfather took you to see these, this fest or this music, did you know what was going on? Did you know anything about the connection with Ireland or what?
No, we didn't. We learned it with him because, among other things, he just loved trivia.
And so, good.
Yeah, and so that would have been considered trivia, not history.
I see. And I thought that was a compliment. I was going to say, I think it's genetic because you have so much information. I don't think of it as trivial, but trivia is good because it's just information about so many different aspects of the combination of cultures. Do you see any signs of... because Mexico is such a mixture, obviously, mestizos, of different cultures, different countries. Is there anything of the Irish left? I mean, the bagpipes, yes. But if people don't know that it's connected to Ireland, how is it? How does that happen? Do they sing songs about them or what?
Well, there are many, many connections between Ireland and Mexico. The Mexican and Irish cultures are very similar in many ways. Both countries are steeped in centuries-old traditions. They both are predominantly Catholic. And if you are talking about music, the instruments, there are several songs which I didn't give you a sample of, but there are many songs where you can listen to the bagpipes and the Mexican instrumentation, and it goes seemingly unchanged, but actually when you find clogging, when people are dancing and you see, for instance, a huapango, that a huapango is a style of music from the coast of the Gulf of Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and you hear them tapping. All that clogging is very similar. You are a dancer, so you understand mm-hmm. that clogging. And the technique is basically the same between the Mexican clogging and the Irish clogging. The difference mm-hmm. is that in the Irish clogging, there is a lot of leg stretching, so the knees are stretched.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mexican clogging, for the most part, you keep all your weight relaxed and into the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And the knees are very, sometimes even bent,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because you keep that very soft type of movement.
Yeah,
and then the Irish, there's legs flying up in the air constantly.
Right. Well, and the bent knees is healthier for your body. Do we have any of that music? Because I know my fabulous engineer, Nevi, and his trainee, Rob, our brand new staff member, are in the studio. Do they have any music that would show that?
Well, Nevi has one song that is with the group, I blanked out, is with the group Baile and Salsa. And Baile and Salsa is an international group of musicians, but they are based in Galway. And they mix, their music is mixed with Gaelic and Spanish.
Well, let's have a listen.
They call their fusion salsa trad.
Let's have a listen, and then we'll bring you back.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yes, it's a beautiful song. It's called My Gallant Darling, and it's based in, it's a poem. It's a lament, actually, of the Gaelic goddess for her prince who was then in exile.
Sigh. So, yeah. But they alternate it between Gaelic and Spanish.
Right. And, you know, the influences in music, for instance, is not just from the Irish into the Mexican music, but also the Mexican music into the Irish. And this is the perfect example of how that has happened. Mm-hmm. And that is that we are talking only about music. But the Irish have been very, very important in the history of Mexico. They have a legacy in the financial world. They have been very important in the political world, equally important in the arts. The founder of the oldest newspaper, Novedades, is a sixth-generation Irishman. And also the first newspaper, all in English, that was published by Novedades, by his father. It was printed until a few years back. And also the network of Televisa, the television network that became Televisa, is owned by and run by the O'Farrell family. And personally, the connection that I would have with the O'Farrells is my father, one of the people my father worked with, he worked was a governor of Puebla, because we have had governors and presidents of Irish descent. So important they have existed. And my father worked with this, he was the chief of staff, but together they developed many cultural programs throughout the state. So to make it, and the state is a state that has millions of people. Puebla is about comparable in size to Los Angeles.
Margarita, the clock is ticking, and you we know we could go on easily for 2 hours. We've done it before on live radio, and we will do it again with live radio someday. But folks, let me just tell you, you can find Margarita on Thursday evenings, every other Thursday evening, and right here at KMUN. What kind of a radio station can bring you that? Right, Margarita? The variety, the eclectic nature of this station, that we can have all these different programs. And I'm going to throw this out. Nobody knows I'm doing this. We only have 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes left. Anybody who pledges before 4 o'clock, whether it's online or make the phone call, I will match it up to $500. So do that. I'm making mine in honor of the great cultural exchanges that we have, and also to honor the fantastic staff. I couldn't be sitting here in the middle of the parking lot doing this show without my engineer, whom I'm looking at through the window, through two windows in the station, waving to each other, making the music happen. We couldn't do it without them. So thank you to Nevada. Thanks to our new guy, Rob. Thanks to Graham, our beloved station manager. Thanks to Emma and Kathleen and Joanne, and especially Susan and Janet, to all of our staff, to all of our programmers. Thanks to you for making this community radio happen. You know it. You've heard it before. There's no KMUN without you. So I hope you're getting a pledge in. I'm willing to write the check or match whatever you do, but you only have a minute left. I know, I waited. I've already put my money in. This is extra. Margarita, thank you so much for joining me. And I hope we'll do it again soon. And
we'll do it again. Thank you so much for bringing me on, and thank you so much to everyone who listens and to everyone who pledges, of course.
You bet. And I think we've got a little bit of music to go out with while you press that donate button, folks. Thanks for being here. KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, even Squamish and Seychelles.